says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So David says to his own soul in exhortation, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." One of the questions we might ask is, why? Why do we bless the Lord? We have in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." His benefits, are they a reason why we bless the Lord? But before we can answer that, let's ask, what are the benefits? It is the Lord who pardons all your iniquity. It is the Lord who heals all your diseases. It is the Lord who redeems your life from the pit. And it is the Lord who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. It is the Lord who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The first and chief benefit is pardon, is forgiveness. God knowing our state, God knowing who we are, delivers that as the primary benefit, the first one. The next is healing. The word that he uses is in the plural. Takulaim occurs only in the plural form and is formed, it is translated as sickness. And this is not only personal sickness, but this is also societal sickness. The next is salvation. It is the pit of destruction that we are destined for. And that is where we would head, but for the fact that God has given us the benefit of pardon and of healing. And He's given us the benefit of compassion. And then finally, He gives us a reason why He gives the benefits. And interestingly, it's not to bless the Lord. He gives these benefits so that our youth will be renewed like the eagle. So these benefits are for our present and future blessing. And they are good. And David says, forget not these benefits. But this may not be the reason why we bless the Lord. What about historic blessings? David says, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the sons of Israel. So the Lord is also present in what we do as we live, and He informs us as we live. So God is present in His blessings and His benefits for us now and in the future, and He has blessed us in history. And the next is God's character, as David describes it. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And there we have that word a second time, loving kindness, his hesed love. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And this is a reiteration of, although we deserve the pit of destruction, he saves us from that future. Because the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Are these the reasons why also we bless the Lord with our soul? Do we bless the Lord because he will not always strive and contend, and that his anger is not for always? Because he says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is this hesed love, his loving kindness towards us, for those who fear him. If you can imagine for a moment that we are in the center of the universe on our planet of Earth, which I will say is a valid statement, because in all directions, no matter where you go, there's space, and in almost an infinity of vastness. And we know that even when we point our telescopes to the sky, to a dark place, as we look, we know that there are then millions and millions of other things to look at. And this is all around us. And the Lord says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness. Unfathomable vastness of hesed love. And what about the east from the west? We know that if we continue to go east, we might run into the same place, but God is not talking about a geographical area. We know that if you go east, it is possible to head east infinitely. And if you go west, it is possible to go west infinitely. And that is how far our transgressions are from us. As far as an infinite east to an infinite west. And so now we head into verse 13. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. If we take this chapter from 1 to 22, and we find the middle, we find this verse. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And if there's one thing that we can take away, it's this one. The compassion of the Father on the children. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. I know that here in the state of Texas, we're blessed with wildflowers. And I know that when the season is right and the flowers come up, it's beautiful, the colors that we see. So it is significant. And the beauty that we gather from the wildflowers is something that is real and something that definitely touches us. But we know there's also a season when the flowers wither and fade. And same with man. We know that there is something there in the life of a human being. But we know ultimately, though, that we fade. And God understands this, and that is His compassion and mercy. He is our designer. He is our maker. Sometimes we get into thinking that our sins are too big or that our souls are too alone. But no sin is bigger than God's understanding of who we are. We are His. And He knows who we are. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him and His righteousness. So in contrast to the temporal existence of a human being, we have God's loving kindness. Again, His hesed love, which not only is infinite, but is also everlasting. On those who fear Him and His righteousness, to children's children. This is a loving kindness that belongs to us individually and belongs to us generationally. To those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts, to do them. And so we enter into verse 19, David's description of the Lord's dominion. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of the Lord. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, who serve Him, doing His will. The Lord's dominion is over everything, and David acknowledges it. And now, instead of just exhorting his own soul individually, he exhorts the angels in heaven to do the same. So bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength. Who performing His word, obeying the voice of the word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, who serve Him doing His will. So it seems that everything that was talked about as far as His loving kindness, His grace, His forgiveness, His benefits, those are all good and those are for us. But those are not mere reasons to bless the Lord, because we have the angels, we have the host of heaven who also bless the Lord, to which those things do not apply. There is no pardon for them, and there is no benefit of this kind for them the way that it is for human beings. And I don't think it can be said that the Lord is even their Father the way the Lord is our Father. And we head into the last verse. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, in all places of dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So we have the first verse and the second verse, exhortations to His own soul. to bless the Lord. And in verse 22, he gives us a clue why. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, in all places of His dominion. And that is where our soul rests. You know, it can be said that we have a soul, but it can also be said we are a soul. And who we are is a work of His. And who we are is part of His dominion. And for that and that reason alone, it's good enough that we bless the Lord with our soul. His character is good. His benefits are good. And praise the Lord, we have them. But we bless the Lord because we belong to Him. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings and all your benefits to us. Thank you, Lord, that first and foremost, because you know who we are and what we do, how we think, how we act, the first and foremost is forgiveness. How that you don't destine us to what we deserve, but you destine us according to your grace, which is infinite. And so, Lord, let us exhort our own souls to bless you. Not because of these things. Those things, your character, everything is good, and we praise you for it. But let us thank you. Let us bless you. Because we belong to you. And our own very soul is your dominion. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Against the enemy, we bow down on our knees. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. You alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven above. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise, in the city of our God, the holy place. The joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord in whom we have the victory. He aids us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. God eternal throughout earth and heaven. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our life. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven. We want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven above.
Thank you, Lord, for this congregation, and thank you, Lord, of why David, and we don't know where or when in his lifetime he composed this psalm, but he knew he belonged to you, and I pray that everyone here would be touched by that fact, that we are part of your dominion. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.